Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 235, the three stanzas. O Lord, my petition heed, and now help me in thy need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. And what follows? Psalter 235, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 86. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 86. A prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell, O God. The proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, it has been morning, and now it has become evening of another Lord's day. The day is far spent. May it be our prayer, as the prayer of the travelers to Emmaus, that thou may abide with us. And when by renewal on this day of rest, we may be gathered in thy house of prayer, when we attempt with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee, and then we have heard it in this morning, who is a God like unto thee, and from the solemnest in this evening, that thou art God alone, and thou doest wondrous works, then it is so needful each time we attempt to draw nigh unto thee, that thou fillest our hearts with that profound reverence and that deep humility before thee, the great and majestic God, and that there may be a bowing of the heart with that profound adoration, with a deep impression of all of our needs, but also, as we have heard from David the psalmist, that he was given to thank thee for all thy blessings. And Lord, we humbly ask thee that in this evening hour, that thou may manifest thyself as that great God unto us and our children, and that by the first time and by renewal, that thy word may be blessed for the conversion of boys and girls, young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, and when that takes place by thy Spirit, then there shall be a bowing before the great, adorable God, and then we shall experience thy anger over sin. But, Lord, then we have heard in this morning that thou delighteth in mercy, and to that end we may come together by renewal in this evening hour. May it be for the ingathering of thy church, and may it be for the instruction, the edification, the comfort, and the correction of thy people. Then out of thy word, of the prayer of David, then we have received much instruction, but also encouragement, and then at the end of his prayer, then he has begged of thee that thou may grant him a token for good. May such souls have come up in this evening that have begged thee, they need the pardoning of their sins, but by renewal a little token of thy favor, that thou knowest of them, that they may be instructed in the ways of the Lord, led deeper in the mysteries of salvation, the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Wilt thou bless thy word in the midst of the church? Wilt thou help the consistory to that end? Wilt thou grant many errands in hers? Wilt thou gather the male members together in the middle of this week? The purpose is known unto thee. May it be accompanied with unceasing prayer, that thou may grant a man of thy choosing with thy blessing for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Wilt thou remember the family circles, help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children. May it be accompanied by prayer, and thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Remember our Christian school. Wilt thou continue to grant traveling mercies? Wilt thou remember and help the school board in their weighty and responsible task? Also each time by renewal, when they gather as a school board, wilt thou remember the administration, all the staff, all the teachers? May thy word be richly blessed for young and old. Wilt thou remember our denomination? Remember the established churches? Remember the persecuted church? The Jewish people still at war? Wilt thou remember them that in their need, that they may be given to cry unto thee, and that they may be taught in the way of trial and affliction that the promised Messiah has come, and that he sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and from thence he is gathering his church, also the Jewish people? May that veil be removed. Wilt thou remember all mission work, also our mission field? Then the labors are manifold, then the need for servants for thy vineyard, a church worker for our mission field, and teachers for our Christian schools. It is great. May it be remembered at the throne of grace. We commend unto thee all Bible translators and those that distribute thy holy word to the far corners of the earth. Then by renewal, we remember all our temporal needs. Continue to supply the daily bread for the family circles. Remember the needs in the realm of nature. Help the farmers when they shall be called upon to entrust the seed into the earth. May it be with an eye upon thee, with a deep dependency, that it all awaits for thy blessing, that there may be bread, food for man and beast. We remember all the mourning ones, ah Lord. Do continue to remember and uphold them, and that out of that mourning an other mourning may be born, and that is a mourning for our sin. We commend unto thee all our elderly ones. Wilt thou remember our care home, the staff and all the residents? We commend by renewal the father that is in the hospital. May the means be blessed, remember, for body and for soul. Remember all the sick and afflicted, two of our members, both in a faraway place, in a different country, different circumstances. We commend them both unto thee. And, ah, Lord, may the time arrive for both of them, that with their dear ones, that they may return into our midst with thy blessing and with thy healing. And above all, ah, may it be that it may be profitable for the souls. We remember all those under the physician's care. In a special way, thou knowest the fears and the worries and the cares. Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening where that is needed? May we be given to bear one another's burdens. Wilt thou remember and bless the family circles, husbands and wives with the children? May thy word have a central place, and may love abound, and may there be prayed without ceasing. Ah, do make us more a praying and a begging people at thy throne of grace, when we may daily come with all our needs, with our sins, with our desires, and with our blessings before thee. Wilt thou remember unfulfilled desires and unanswered prayers? It is all known unto thee. Lord, remember the nations of the earth with all the turmoil and the unrest. Remember our nation that has departed so far from thee with all the leaders. And now we humbly ask thee, Lord, for thy help. Open thy word. Wilt thou grant unto the hearers what is so indispensable? Ah, grant a good hour of rest. In thy house may it be blessed by thee. We have nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold, but, ah, Lord, thou still delighteth in mercy, and that is only possible through thy dear Son. May it please thee by thy free and sovereign grace to manifest thy mercy, and that in this evening for the first time, but also by renewal, thou knowest how we have come up to thy house. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 311, the first five stanzas. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How shall my soul by grace restored give worthy thanks, O Lord, to thee? And what follows? Psalter 311, the five stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, the question and answers 116 through 119. Question 116, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Answer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness, which God requires of us, and also because God will give us grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Question 117. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? Answer, first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word. For all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His Divine Majesty. Thirdly, that we may be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. Question 118. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? Answer, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. Question 119. What are the words of that prayer? Answer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord's Day 45 speaks of the Christian's true prayer, with three thoughts. First, why the Christian must pray. Secondly, how the Christian must pray. And thirdly, for what the Christian must pray. The Christian's true prayer. Why the Christian must pray, as we find it in number 116, how the Christian must pray, and number 117, and for what the Christian must pray, and number 118 and 119. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Beloved congregation, that relates to the former Lord's Day, where we have heard in Lord's Day number 44 and the answer of 115 concerning why the Ten Commandments must be so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them. And then we read in this answer, in addition to other matters, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God. Then our instructors, in the part of gratitude, then they have given a broad explanation of the law and also a broad explanation of prayer. And then the question could be asked, why have perhaps the instructors dealt with prayer in the part of gratitude, and why have they not spoken of prayer broadly in the first part of our catechism concerning the knowledge of our misery? That is not so difficult. When the Lord begins, when the Lord opens our eyes, when the Lord impresses those profound needs upon our heart, when the Lord shows that we are lost and that we need to be saved, then for such souls, then you do not have to tell them that they need to pray. You find them oftentimes secret places during their work, sighing unto the Lord, that the Lord may remember them with the favor that he bears unto his people. Oh, what a blessed, what a close, and what a dependent life. But alas, later, then that prayer life, then there are those times that it becomes so lukewarm, to the ashaming of the child of God. Because in the way of gratitude, what profound matters they have to praise that great God for. And now we read, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness. Thus not the law, but prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. And why? Because there shall never be a keeping of a diligent keeping that close and tender life according to the word of God without prayer. All prayer, that is when we speak to the Lord. That is when the church may experience that blessed communion. Prayer is the secret of holiness and of happiness. Sometime it is called in the life of the child of God the thermometer concerning their spiritual life, not concerning their state, but concerning their condition. And now when we speak of prayer, then it needs to be in the context of what we have heard in this morning. Who is a God like unto thee? And in the solemn that we have read together, a word is called the prayer of David. Then we find similar matters in his prayer. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. And in verse 10, for thou art great and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone. Who is a God like unto thee? Those boys and girls in this evening, when you bow your knees before your bed and fold your hands and close your eyes, then it is good to think of what a great God that the Lord is. That the Lord looks through the roof, through the ceiling, and that he sees at the same moment all the boys and girls, and of course children. When you can read something, then you also need to read a portion of the Bible. Because through the Bible, the Lord is speaking to us. And in prayer, we speak to the Lord. But then we need to remember, who is a God like unto thee? That at the same time that he hears every boy and girl, of course also young people and older ones, and that he hears every word, every prayer, and that he remembers those prayers. Who is a God like unto thee? And now we have the question, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Isn't the part of gratitude of the true child of God? And then it is Christian with a capital letter. Thus then it speaks of the necessity and the blessing of prayer for the reborn child of God. But prayer is necessary for all of us. What an exhortation in the Bible we have concerning prayer. Psalm 81 verse 10, open wide thy mouth and I will fill it. Psalm 50 verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. We read in the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. And the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 verse 7, ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Think of Philippians 4 verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto the Lord. Then we have so many exhortations in the Word of God to encourage us that we are often on our knees. What precious examples we have of heard prayer. Think of Abram and Sarah for a child, Joshua, that the moon and sun stood still. Think of the Hannah. Think of the church before the day of Pentecost. Think of Acts 12 when Peter was in prison, that the church was praying without ceasing. And then what attributes to encourage for prayer. When it is impossible from our side, when it seems it can no more, all the attributes of his power, his wisdom, his goodness, profound impressions of our sins and our unworthiness, that he delighteth in mercy. And then we read in the scriptures of two intercessors, that is the Holy Spirit, Christ at the right hand of the Father, for his people. And our congregation, prayer that is so necessary for the church. And when prayer is at a low ebb, still a form and duty, but when that true prayer is at a low ebb, but also prayer when it is at a low ebb, even in the way of form and duty, that becomes evident in the church, that the church becomes world-conformed, because when we do not hearken to the Lord speaking through His Word, then prayer shall become very lax. And I read in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. Because it is the chief part of thankfulness. Thus, when we speak of prayer, not only requests, oh, we have heard it from the prayer of David, that he was also given to thank the Lord for the many blessings which the Lord has given unto him. But it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. And also, and the instructors have worded it very strongly, then the instructors have stated, because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him. Those are words that are spoken to the living child of God. And now it is the normal way that the Lord holds with His people. He has not only decreed the end, the Lord knows everything from the beginning to the end. The Lord has decreed all things, but it has pleased that great God to appoint prayer as a means to the obtaining of what we desire, those living desires in the life of the church, and then the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of prayer and of supplication. We have the examples in the Bible. When we read of the saints, Abraham, David, and other saints, when we read a portion out of God's Word concerning them, and the Lord is not mentioned or acknowledged, and when there is not prayer, then oftentimes it has not went well with them. Then they have fallen into sin. And what special blessings, let us mention the day of Pentecost. They had a promise of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But it is specifically mentioned that they were together with one accord with prayer and supplication. And what wonders the Lord has granted upon that prayer. And give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires. The instructors, they've mentioned that word sincere more often. Lord's Day number 33, the true conversion of man, the mortification of the old man, that sincere sorrow of heart, the resurrection of the new man, that sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and also in the former Lord's Day, then we read of that sincere resolution that they may walk in the ways of the Lord, who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Then congregation, for the true child of God, when it may lie tender, then also in our catechism, then the explanation, oh, the child of God has heard much at the foot of Mount Sinai, reasons to be ashamed, reasons to be the publican in the back of the temple. But now the wonder we have heard it, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth over transgression. He will not retain his anger forever, but he delighteth in mercy. And that mercy is possible through the work of a triune God, but now also in this Lord's day. Then the true child of God has many reasons to be ashamed. Ah, they know of those times, that they may be true beggars, beggars at the throne of grace. When they read the prayer of David from Psalm 86, that it is not all strange, that they are given to call, that they are given to supplicate, that they are given to declare, that the Lord is such a wonder-doing God, that they receive so many blessings, but then also with a resolution, because we have heard it after David has declared, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Ah, the blessed place for the child of God to be, as the dove of Christ, to pour out their heart, to come with all their needs, with all their sins, with all their desires, with their adoration. Ah, that they fall so short in giving the Lord the thanksgiving that he is so worthy to receive. But then the added prayer that is the mark of those sincere desires. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Then in the solemn, then we do not find the Pharisee who stood in the front of the temple and has related all that he has done, and that he has thanked the Lord that he was not as that publican in the back, but a desire to be taught, a desire to be kept. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And then this instructors have said and are thankful for them. And that connects to the former words. Oh, then the instructors are trying to impress upon the hearts of the living child their rightful and proper place, and that they may pray the more, that each time by renewal they may be brought on that place, because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Our second thought: how the Christian must pray. And then we read in question 117, what are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which you will hear? Thus, that presupposes that not all prayer is acceptable to the Lord. I even read in Proverbs 15, verse 8, that the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination unto the Lord, but the prayer of the upright, that is his delight. And in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. In James 4, ye ask and receive not, that thou may consume it in thy lusts. That does not speak of infirmities of the flesh, but that speaks of willful transgression when we refuse to bow under the authority of God's holy word. And then the answer is very clear and very profound. First, that we from the heart pray. Not a divided heart, not a double heart. And therefore, at the beginning of that answer, how necessary are the disciples have also learned it. In Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. I am so earthly, I am so carnal, can be those wandering thoughts that wander all over the earth. Lord, wilt thou grant that humble, that broken heart, wilt thou grant something of what we have heard out of Psalm 86, and we must understand it, because when we have read it concerning that second verse, then there could be questions concerning that verse, because David is asked, preserve my soul, for I am holy. How are we now to understand that expression that David was given to say that he was holy? That word in the original more refers to be a favored one of the Lord, and that David has experienced, that he has confessed in this psalm, the many blessings that the Lord has given, who is a God like unto thee the same, as we have heard in this morning, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who has manifested himself in his word. And to that end, the necessity that young and old, that we faithfully read that word, that we search that word, pray over that word, and that the Lord may show by his Spirit, by his grace, who that God is, and then we shall begin to inquire who that Lord is more and more. Think of Saul on the way to Damascus, who art thou, Lord? And then we read, the Lord has said to Ananias, when he has received that command to visit Saul, he was a persecutor of the church. For behold, he prayeth. Boys and girls can understand it, that Saul, who went to the theological school, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a theologian of that day, that he has prayed much. But now when the Spirit has come, and when he was felled on the battlefield of free and sovereign grace, then he began to pray from the heart. It was a true prayer. It was a sincere prayer. Then the Pharisee has become a publican. That is necessary for the first time, and each time by renewal. First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested himself in his word, a profound impression of all his attributes, and then further, for all things he hath commanded us to ask of him. We have a great God. We may ask great things. We must ask great things. And to that end, congregation, may we be more a praying and a begging people, even with our mind. Paul has said to the Corinthians, I will pray with the understanding, and I will pray with the Spirit, because we are still upon praying ground. In eternity, then prayer shall not be necessary. All for the lost shall be the place where hope shall never come, and where prayer need not to be made. Although we read in Revelation 6, verse 16, when Christ comes again upon the clouds of heaven, and then it shall be experienced, who is a God like unto thee, that there shall be people that shall pray to the mountains, to the rocks, that they may cover them from the wrath of the Lamb. And we read in Luke 16, this Druid is a parable, that rich man is done in hell, that he has prayed, asked in sincerity what he has never done on earth. And oh, for God's people, then in eternity. Of course, prayer includes thanksgiving, but then they shall be granted to praise the Lord forever and ever, most perfectly. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery. Thus then it speaks of two matters, our need and misery. And our needs are manifold. And the trials in this life, they are also great. And then it is proper, right, and let us add, then it is so needful that our prayers, each time by renewal, that they become more particular, not so general, that we come with special needs, special trials, that we mention them exactly by name before the Lord. Those needs need to be bound upon the heart, because congregation, sometime it is stated that need teaches to pray. But need by itself shall never grant a true prayer. There can be much feeling. There can be much emotion. At the moment, then we can see the great needs, the great misery. But by itself, it shall never teach to pray in the proper way. Oh, then in this answer. And of course, concerns the true Christian, the capital C, the necessity of the Holy Spirit. For the true child of God, then the Lord is given to intercessors, and necessary that the people may be exercised with those intercessors for a prayerless people. They need to ask the Lord for everything. When the Apostle Paul has written to the Romans, "For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession," the Spirit of prayer and supplication maketh intercession within us with groanings which cannot be uttered, then what a needful prayer for the living child of God and the need, oh, to learn. Thus, the church is given an intercessor in their heart. That is the Holy Spirit. But the church also has an intercessor at the right hand of the Father. That is the Lord Jesus Christ as the great high priest, who was entered with his blood into the inner sanctuary with that breastplate upon his heart, with the names of the church inscribed upon his heart and laid upon his shoulders, who the Father always heareth. Let us first sing. Psalter 150, the four stanzas. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh. And what follows, Psalter 150, the four stanzas. that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery. The temporal needs in this life, they are great and manifold. But what is now our greatest need and misery, congregation? You know it with your mind. Then even the boys and girls will answer, that is my soul that needs to be saved. And then what a fitting prayer it is, that each time by renewal, that we humbly beg of the Lord for light, that we may be given to see, and that we feel the weight of our never dying soul, because the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. I read in Psalm 7 verse 11. But he yet delighteth in mercy. Oh, young and old, may the prayers be multiplied for those wonderful works of the Lord, because we need the pardoning of our sins each week, each Sabbath day, a week closer to the end. Are there times, boys and girls, young and old, in the evening of another Sabbath day, that you are distressed, troubled, and that you tell the Lord, Lord, another soul's mark a day, another Sabbath that we can never do over again, and another Sabbath day closer to that never-ending eternity. Matthew 16, verse 26, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Ah, for that people that may learn of their need and of their misery. Who is a God like unto thee that retaineth not his anger forever? For he delighteth in mercy, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. Many in this day, they speak to the Lord as if they are speaking with another person. No reverence and no respect. But when the Lord grants a little impression, who is like unto thee? Glorious in praises, doing wonders. What an examples we have in the Bible. Different places, many places we read when a saint has received a visit from an angel, a holy angel that cometh from the presence of the Lord. Then how fearful they were. Oh, think of Abram, who was called the friend of God. In Genesis 18, when he was given to plead for Sodom and Gomorrah, then he says, Lord, I am but dust and ashes. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6, when he saw the vision of the holiness of the Lord, then he has cried out, woe unto me, for I am a man of unclean lips and dwell among such a people. Oh, we have different examples. Think of Ezra and Ezra 9, that at the time of the evening sacrifice, he sat astonished and ashamed before the presence of the Lord. Think of that blessed Daniel in Daniel 9, when he understood the scriptures that the 70 weeks have come to an end. What a humility. Profound impressions of his unworthiness, and yet a prayer to the living God. Think of that centurion in Matthew 8 that has sent his servants concerning his servant that was so sick. And then Jesus was on the way. And then he has felt so unworthy that Jesus would even come under his roof, that we may so deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty, who is a God like unto thee. In the life of the children of God, when it may be right, then also concerning this Lord's day, then they must be ashamed, and then to be given to turn this answer into a humble prayer. Oh, the children of God, they know of those times, so tender, so humble, that special place at the throne of grace, where they may pour out their heart, confess their sins, tell the Lord everything, an outpouring of love, telling, Ah, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest of self, prayerless and thankless, but thou grantest the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and that freedom, and thirdly, that we are fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, we have mentioned the centurion, it's no rights, but yet given to beg, that we are fully persuaded. We read of Abram in Romans 4, verse 21, concerning that child, that he was persuaded that the Lord was able to perform it. And then finally, and that is a deeper instruction, that for the sake of Christ, Christ has spoken to his disciples in John 16, the verses 23 and 24, hitherto, have ye asked nothing in my name. It's not mean they have not mentioned that name, but they have not understood the riches of that name, and that the Father can only delight in mercy and answer poor sinners through the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. And then the instructors of Christ have not stated the Lord, but our Lord. Heard that also of David in the closing of his prayer. Oh, turn unto me. We have heard of that turning. The Lord has promised it from Micah 7, verse 19. But the church, by true saving faith, by the Spirit, they are given to turn those promises into petition. Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Certainly hear our prayers as he has promised in his word for what the Christian must pray. That the Lord willing, we hope to hear in the coming Lord's days concerning the Lord's Prayer. And now, boys and girls, when you bow your knees tonight before your bed with folded hands and closed eyes, then what must you pray for? What do you pray for at the end of a day? Then we need to thank the Lord that we could go to church. Hope you can understand it a little bit, and that you have heard of the wonderful things of the Lord, and that you tell the Lord, Lord, we have heard of a people that are happy, that may receive the pardoning of sins. Wilt thou grant me a new heart, that I may serve thee, that I may love thee, and that at the end thou may take me into heaven where I may praise thee. Then of course we need to thank the Lord. Food and drink, a house, a bed, a soft pillow. And then we need to ask the Lord that he may watch over us in this night. The need, that is the strength, that is the power, and that is the beauty of the church. When they may be a praying, a begging people, and that in part to experience by the Spirit what the instructors have beautiful laid out concerning the requisites of that prayer, young and old. May it be encouragement for us to beg of the Lord, often in secret places, but also during our labors, those short prayers that we may send up. We have said what exhortations and what examples. Where the Lord has heard prayer, the Lord is still the same. And concerning this hearing, I read in Isaiah 66, verse 2, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart and that trembleth at my word. Amen. Let us close. Lord, when we have heard a little of what true prayer is, then we humbly ask thee, wilt thou teach us and our children to pray by the first time and each time by renewal, that as a congregation we may be bound at thy throne of grace and to be given to experience who is a God like unto thee, to come with our temporal needs and above all with our spiritual needs. We may commence another week. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in the home, at work, at school, on the way. Wealth I'll keep from harm and danger. Bring the male members together for a meeting. The purpose is known unto thee. Wealth I'll take each under thy good care and protection. Wealth I'll now return us safely to our homes. Wealth I'll pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, why thy mouth believing, this my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving, and what follows. 431, 4, 5, and 6. Save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.